You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back. Here we are again on Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Jason Ross. We hope everybody's been good on their little bit of break here from Locked On Kings. We told you we're going to kind of keep this theme up for a couple of weeks with an episode, maybe two a week. Only one this week, but we'll be back in a couple of weeks, really, for a full slate every day, Monday through Friday. Still just kind of ramping it up slowly. It was the start of the NFL on Thursday. The NBA started their regular season less than 40 days away. Preseason is coming up in just a few weeks, training camp and all that. So we will really be going up and at them full throttle each and every day here shortly. But just kind of a check-in each and every week with you. And we're thank you for being patient on that. I've received a couple of texts and emails. People antsy waiting for the next edition of Locked On Kings. So here we are for today's edition. Kind of a little bit of a grab bag today. There's not a whole lot of new Kings news. We'll share what we have for you. I have a brief conversation with Doug Christie coming up on today's podcast as well. Let's start out, though, with some of that Kings news that we want to pass your way. And first and foremost, what's going on with some of the guys that are playing? And right now that's including Bogdan Bogdanovic and Yorgos Papayannis. Right now they're playing in EuroBasket 2017. They just finished up their group stage, and those guys actually finished up pretty strong. The final games of that EuroBasket 2017 group stage concluded. 24 teams participating. Now they move on to the tournament portion, so they're looking for the championship. As far as Bogdan Bogdanovic, he led his Serbian team. They played five games. He went 4-1, had a game where he scored 30 during that group play, averaged a team high of 19.8 points per game, also dished out 5.2 assists, 3.6 rebounds, had a steal and a half. That assist mark is something that more and more people have been talking about Bogdanovic lately, are very encouraged about his ability to be a playmaker. And I know he's a two, could maybe be a three, but his ability to create for others could be interesting. But I like those stats, at least. You know, again, you like the numbers, 19.8 points per game and the 5.2 assists, nearly four boards and a steal and a half per game. In his most recent game, he had a team high 15 points, nine assists in their win over Belgium. Now, Papayannis, he's actually had some impact in playing for Greece, cruised to a win in their final group game. Comfortable win, won by 18 points, 95-77 over Poland, improving the team's record. They went 2-3 in their five-game play. Papa G scored 8 points, eight boards, three blocks. He also had the best plus-minus rating on the team. That was a plus 26. So, again, the tournament continues now. The tournament format gets going on the weekend. Papayannis will be playing on the weekend against Lithuania. Bogdanovic and Serbia will play against Hungary. This is a single-elimination tournament with the final game coming up on September 17th. So if either guy or both guys make it all the way, they'll have a few days to get back, get acclimated, and training camp and media day and all that stuff is coming up very, very shortly for your Sacramento Kings. Now, also the Kings, since we have been gone, they have a lot of the guys apparently are here and working out together, which is very, very encouraging, but with camp not officially starting until a few weeks. But while the new guys were around or some of the guys were around, there's some really devastating things going on in our world, specifically with you got Irma going on in Florida, but earlier Hurricane Harvey, and that directly hit a couple of the Kings as far as De'Aaron Fox and Justin Jackson with their connections to Houston. So I got this from Kings.com, but it was a nice piece of those guys kind of addressing their concerns, their efforts, their raising awareness and donations and different things. But here's what those two guys had to say, Justin Jackson, De'Aaron Fox. First, Justin Jackson on really that devastation of what was going on in Houston.
To see, you know, that water fill up and to see the highways that we drive on, you know, every single day. For us growing up there, to see those type of things underwater, it was pretty insane.
36 to 48 hours before that, you know, it was really just a tropical storm, and then it turned into a Category 4. And I'm just praying for families that have, you know, lost members or, you know, still trying to get rescued.
I mean, there's a lot of people that lost pretty much everything. My heart is with them, and my prayers are with them for sure.
Just not being able to be there is something that's affecting me a great deal. No matter what anyone does, you know, you know that other people have your back. That's the way Houston's been, you know, since I arrived.
You know, I think it's definitely a great example of how people can really come together and help each other out for the greater good.
I feel like there are so many people donating right now and so many people keeping, you know, their family in their prayers, and they're trying to just come together and help Houston.
You know, if everybody can do that, I think it'll help Houston out a lot.
Well, you always like it when people are considerate of others, thinking of others. These guys are incredible athletes and good guys, and I like that they're thinking of others. And that we all should really, you know, take on that mantra. But good for them for showing their hearts, their emotion, and trying to raise some money. I know De'Aaron Fox has done some really good things with that as well. So good for those two guys to really think about Houston in this situation, their hometown that means a lot to both of them. Hey, I've told you about this many times. I'm going to continue to tell you about it. It's SeatGeek. When you're thinking about getting to games this upcoming season to watch your Sacramento Kings, or you want to get out to some NFL games, baseball play, wherever you want to see, all you have to do is keep this in mind. Think about SeatGeek. People are always looking, how do I get tickets? What's the best way? Where's the hookup? SeatGeek is the way to do it. Get the app on your phone, too. Everybody's got their phone at their side at all times. So put it on your phone. Have the SeatGeek app. Make things really easy for you, because then whenever you got that impulse to go to an upcoming game, whenever you've got that desire to go to a comedy show, a concert, whatever the case may be, boom, hit the SeatGeek app, and they will take care of you. Because SeatGeek, it just saves you time and money. They've done all the research. They'll tell you what tickets are available at what price. They have their guarantees, fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets at SeatGeek, and then you'll be confident when you're making that purchase for the event that you want to go to. So make SeatGeek the place. Just think of it in your mind. Put it on your app. Finding the best deals for all those kinds of events, every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Think about SeatGeek. Best of all of you guys that are out there, you listeners, you'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how you do it. So download that SeatGeek app that I was talking about. Enter promo code LONBA today. That's promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
Well, it's always fun for me to catch up with my guy, Doug Christie, as we continue here on Locked on Kings. Doug, I want to start with something that was pretty cool news, I think, for you to be a member of the NBA 2K kind of all Kings team. How was that? How cool was that to find that out?
Well, you know, first of all, it's an honor, but it is really cool. I think for a long time, we were held up on being on there. I'm not exactly sure if someone didn't want to sign or what it was, but you know, my son plays that a lot, so for him to see me, you know, he's seen me on Toronto and some other teams, but to see me on the Kings team, and, you know, those, they give you rankings. So those rankings for all of us players and our team was pretty high. So just an all-around honor, but to be named to the all-team Kings team is truly an honor, because a lot of great players. Obviously, we had some good times here, but, yeah, an honor for me and hopefully for all of our fans.
So when your son gets that game, he's got to play as you, correct?
No, my son will probably want to play Kobe Bryant against me.
Oh, come on.
That's how it usually goes, man. You know how your kids are. They rag you and give you a bad time. But yeah, I'm sure he'll play me. Hopefully, my rating is high enough to be respectable.
I'm sure it will be. As far as Kings news, we're getting close. We're getting closer to the start of the regular season, start of preseason. The off-season news, I guess we say, feels a little bit better. We had to kind of wait and see what happens with Zach Randolph. Charges dropped a little bit, still maybe a little bit of a slap on the wrist. You think the Kings just kind of go forward with all things status quo with Zach Randolph?
Yeah, I think so. I think in this day and age, obviously, you know, marijuana and all the things that being legal in California, Washington, a lot of different places, that's one thing. Obviously not something that you want to do or something that you want to be involved in, especially when you're coming in and trying to kind of set the table. But I don't see it as a big thing in the locker room. I know from the fans' perspective, it's going to be a big thing. It'll be news, a lot of different stuff. Most of the time, these type of things in the locker room, it's a learning thing. Obviously, the other players can learn from him what not to do. But at the same time, I'm sure there will be a lot of jokes. He may find a few backpacks here or there. So part of that is, you know, this is the NBA. This is life. This is learning. And I don't see it being a big problem in the locker room. Like I said, I just think more from the fans' perspective and the public at large.
All right. So as we get closer to the start of this, of training camp, media day, all that stuff, the important part to get ready for an NBA season, what are you looking forward to most about this collection of kind of young players and then the small collection of veterans that the Kings are going to have?
Well, I think the veterans, obviously, they're going to lead these guys and show these guys a lot. What I'm looking forward to is the ability for these guys to start improving individually and then coming together collectively as a group. I think that that morphs before us as it morphs together and it starts to happen is going to be something special and a lot of fun to watch. You know, when it's time for, you know, De'Aaron Fox to start to take over. It might not be this year, or it might be. Then you think about Justin and what he can do out on the court. And just watching them as they start to kind of click things together. And then you bring back your second-year guys. And when you, you know, you think about the things that Scal might be able to do on the court. I'm hearing really good things about Willie Cauley-Stein. And that whole synergy of the young players, couple of the older players and then the older vets, I think from day one you're going to see one thing. But as we continue through the season, I think it's going to grow and build, and that will be the special part of watching what it is that we see the Kings do.
I feel like there's a couple of unknowns coming in, Doug. One of them is Bogdanovich. I've seen video. I haven't seen much more than that. Some people rave about him. Where are we with him? I think there's a lot of intrigue because I think there could be some pretty good stuff there, but I don't know. What do you think about Bogdanovich?
You know, I really like what I see out of Bogdan. I think that he is going to be a good player. I think that he's going to have to, get acclimated to the NBA and what's going on in the NBA, the speed of the game, those type of things. But Jay, is he a two guard? Is he a small forward? Mm. Those are the things that we don't quite know yet. I know one thing. I wanted to see him in the Olympics and watch him play against top shelf talent, and he looked like he belonged. And that was the thing that I wanted to see the most. So I'm really excited to see him. I think he's a special player, and I think that he is going to do some big things for the Kings.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, where they are, you know, the West, it's as good as we've ever seen, especially at the top. I mean, the Warriors certainly the team to beat. You know, and the Kings probably are going to hear things where they're expected to be finished near the bottom, but I feel like they're in a spot, Doug, where all they can really do is surprise, and sometimes that little underdog role can fit teams kind of well.
No doubt, especially with, I think that when I say tightness, except for maybe at the super top, maybe, you know, Golden State and maybe another team that might show some separation from the pack, it's going to be tight. So Kings can play spoiler. Can they find their way and maybe an 8 seed? That's probably a little bit presumptuous, but at the same time, you never know what happens when you get a group of guys together and they click or things start working. So their ability, Jason, to go out and compete on a night-to-night basis, I think that that's number one. Let's start there. That's the first thing. Will they come out every single night and put it all on the line? And if they do that, I think this the season is a success. What comes with that, the byproduct of that, is usually wins. Now, that will take time because you got player development and a lot of other things that have to take place as well.
All right, the last thing I want to get to you on, Doug, is the biggest offseason trade recently just was Isaiah Thomas. They finalized that deal, the ex-King. You know him. He goes to Cleveland. Assuming everything is right health-wise with everybody going forward, who won in that trade, the Cavs or the Celtics?
Man, you know what? When you look at the Celtics, obviously you get Kyrie Irving. And, I mean, the kid can flat out play. I think that they have a team that's built for the long run. But when you look at the Cavs, it's a win for them if you get LeBron James to stay paired with all those things, draft picks, obviously IT being healthy and all those different things. But weirdly enough, Jason, I think it's a win for both sides because you get what you need in Kyrie Irving. You were looking for a superstar to be able to finish the games, to do things. They didn't really do it in the offseason. They did get Gordon, but will he be that guy? I don't really see him as that guy, but Kyrie takes that next step. Then you look at the other side. You get Crowder. You get a draft pick. Obviously, if IT is healthy, he is the best closer per point in the NBA in the fourth quarter, about 8 point something a game, which means that he is going to knock down big shots. I would lean a little bit more towards Cleveland from the standpoint that they got more pieces in the trade, and you don't know what that draft pick is going to get. Then you pair that with the fact that they were able to get a second round draft pick, and they may clean up out of this. You just don't know.
Well, it's going to be fun to see when it all gets going. I know we'll have you on for much longer sessions during the season. Doug, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, Jay. Appreciate you, man. Have a good night.
That's my guy, Doug Christie, joining me here on Locked on Kings. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Just a brief conversation. Didn't want to take a lot of time with Doug because we know we'll be able to kind of stretch our legs, get much more conversation as the season is coming around. But I know he weighed in on Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving trade. That's still one of – I mean, this summer was absolutely wild across the NBA, but I just find that Isaiah trade fascinating. I think Boston's going to be really good. They won in this trade, but I like what Doug said. I think Cleveland won a little bit more. As long as Isaiah is able to come back, you know he'll be so motivated. He always has been since his days in Washington, then when he came here to Sacramento. His chip on his shoulder as the 60th pick. Kyrie was the first pick. They used to battle. I felt like Isaiah would outplay him as a king and a Cav. And then now he's traded for him. Isaiah was threatening to be an MVP last year. And now he's going to a team that's threatening to win a championship, but he's not the best player on the team anymore. He's just going to be ultra motivated. And I think as you really pull back and look at Cleveland's offseason, it was pretty good based on the mess it could have been. I think it worked out really well for the Cavaliers. You obviously still have LeBron, the best player on the planet, if not really close to the best player, right? You still have Kevin Love, who's been an all-star, a very talented player. Added Derrick Rose. I'm not sure exactly what that's going to do for them overall as far as, you know, star power, but he was a former MVP. And if he can, you know, be his 14 points, 15 points like that, if you add Dwayne Wade at some point, Jeff Green is a nice subtle move. Keeping Korver. You still have J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson. And then you add the pieces from Boston. Jay Crowder, I think, is really going to help him. Isaiah Thomas when he's back and healthy. Just overall, I think their depth is really, really strong. The Warriors are the team everybody's talking about, and everybody should. But I don't know that people are sleeping on the Cavs, but I just like their roster depth, their high-level talent. And, you know, I think if they add Dwayne Wade, again, he's not the same Dwayne Wade as before, but that'll be an interesting playoff player. I mean, he's a big-game player. If they match up with Golden State all of a sudden again in a finals, and now you've got a guy like Dwayne Wade guarding Klay Thompson or having to, you know, make Klay Thompson work a little bit as opposed to maybe a J.R. Smith or a few other guys that they threw out there. Just feels a little depth. Feels like it's a little bit more to the Cavs, and they went through that, you know, crazy situation with David Griffin, but Altman's come in and done a nice job. I just feel like they stabilized a little bit and did a nice job in their overall offseason. Kind of, it's not an overhaul, but just the way they stabilized, kept things together, and should still be one of the strong teams to enter next season. So our only addition this week, we'll be back next week. We'll have more shows coming your way. Certainly we'll get back to the daily format very, very soon. I thank you guys for kind of allowing the freedom here for a couple of weeks, but don't worry, the day-to-day operations will be back up and at them very, very soon. Thank you so much, Doug Christie. Thank you for listening. We're back again next week for more of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.